السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شر أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، شهادة عبده وابن عبده وابن أمته ومن لا غنى به طرفة عين عن رحمته. وأصلي وأسلم على الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المسداة محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وجنده وحزبه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بفضلك وكرمك ومنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ويا رب العالمين. إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وما أنتم بمعجزين في الأرض. أما بعد، In the name of Allah, most graceful, most merciful, I bear witness there is no God worthy of worship except Allah the Almighty. I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final prophet sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon all the prophets and all the messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Adam alayhi salam to Nuh alayhi salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam to Musa alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam to the final prophet and seal of prophethood, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon the household of Muhammad, the wives of Muhammad, the companions of Muhammad, the followers of Muhammad. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, Ya Allah, make us among the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, resurrect us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the chance and the opportunity to drink from the hand of our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Hawd al-Kawthar. Ya Allah, make us with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, we are witnessing the end of summer for our students, for our kids. Now, if you have a kid or you have kids who are going to college or to preschool, they are ready to start a school. Some of them have already started a school and they're embarking a new year, a new journey in their life. And if I ask you, and if we ask ourselves and say why our kids are going to school, you would think this is a very silly question. You would tell me, you don't know, you don't understand. We want them to be successful. And I don't think anybody here in the audience or anywhere around the world who doesn't want his kids to be successful. We all want our kids to be successful. We want our kids, our youth, ourselves to be the best that we can in this life. However, what does it mean to be successful? How can we define success? If I open any dictionary and I open a dictionary and I say myself what success means, one of the dictionaries that says success is the accomplishment of any aim or purpose. This is success. And this is what we want for ourselves and our kids and inshallah everybody around us. In another dictionary, Webster Dictionary, actually, the definition of success is the fact of getting or achieving wealth, respect, or fame. So Webster Dictionary decided, or like their definition of success, that you achieve your goal, and when it comes to wealth or respect that you gain from others, or sometimes we need to gain our respects for ourselves first, and to gain fame. And what's happening around us nowadays in the world that we're in the society that we're in, almost everybody aiming for that. You are defined as a successful person if you make a lot of money, if you are wealthy. And nowadays, with the technology and the social media and the advancement that we see, you are successful if you what? If you have a lot of followers, because you're famous and you're achieving your goal and fame. Even people pay to get followers. People pay Facebook, Instagram, whatever you want to call it, to put ads so they can gain as much as they can of followers. So they can be labeled as successful people. Unfortunately, this definition is very limited, because it's only limited to this life that we're living. If we only believe there is only this life, there is no hereafter. For those people who only believe in this life and they don't believe in hereafter, this is their definition. For us, success is way beyond that. Success is not about a financial context. Like, it's only about financial and materialistic things. It's way beyond that. It's way beyond us being wealthy. And for our kids that they're going to school right now, if you ask them, why are you going to school? I want to be successful. The definition of success by being wealthy, is not something wrong, but it cannot be this is your only goal. This is not only way of success, being successful. We need to equip our kids with the tool to be successful. And to be successful according not definition of dictionaries nowadays, but the definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks in the Quran about being successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He defined those who are successful. In many ayat, in about 55 ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who are successful, or mentioned success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used the terminology muflih. Muflih as a successful person. And He used the terminology falah as success. And if when it translated, it's mean winning or a winner, that person. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not label those people with being wealthy in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second surah in the Quran, He talks about muflihin. He said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ مُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the successful, and those are the successful. Who are they? Those who believe in the unseen, establish a prayer, give what they're supposed to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe in what Allah has sent upon them and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent before them to the other prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Those are guided upon guidance of their Lord. If we are upon guidance, then we are successful. This is the definition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used for being successful. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Ali Imran, the third surah in the Quran, He said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala almost gave another definition for those who are successful. And He said, let's be among you a group of people that invite to what's good and prevents what's wrong and what's bad. And they call for goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the successful people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He told us, how can we be successful? How can we be among those muflihin or those muflihun? And how can we be winners in this life and the hereafter? Because of the definition that we've seen from the ayat, we cannot limit our success to this life. If you limit your success of this life and you don't know if you are winner in the next life, I think this is a big problem. And we all have to admit that this is a big problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Shams, He made it a bit easier for us to understand success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful indeed are those who purify themselves. And in Surah Al-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear by Al-Shams, and he swears about the soul and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Indeed, he's a winner who purifies his soul or her soul. And he or she is a loser for those who don't depurify themselves, who dirt themselves and their souls, and they put them in a place they're not supposed to do and lower their souls. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, he tied two things together that we have to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tied something called tazkiyah, purification, with success. Now we have to have another terminology that we have to define. What does it mean, tazkiyah? What does it mean, purification? How can I purify myself? And this is something for us really we need to understand. And I'm going to put it in the context of the school. Your kids, they go to school and they study and they go home, do their homework, and they study for their test. And then they go take the test, and now they are successful and winners. It's the same thing. We have to prepare. Tazkiyah is a matter of preparation. How you prepare yourself and your soul to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides you're among the people of Jannah. You're among the purified. You're among those people who are winners in the hereafter. It's a matter of your, it's a process. And it's a process that takes time, and a process that requires a lot of preparation. And when the scholars, they talk about tazkiyah, they say tazkiyah had specifically two meanings. Number one, to increase. And number two, to eliminate. To purify is to eliminate everything bad that you do. To remove everything bad. So you purify yourself. So when you remove everything bad, you are ready to fill yourself with everything good. So now you increase the good things that you do toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You stop and you decrease and reduce as much as you do of the bad deeds. Things that keeps you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you don't keep yourself empty. You fill yourself with things that get you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of good deeds. And this is a very important concept for us to understand. When we are able to purify ourselves, to clean ourselves, to make sure that we're working hard with ourselves to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll achieve the ultimate success. And this is what we need to equip our kids with. We cannot leave them and tell them, go to school and don't do homework, right? They have to do homework. They have to come back home and do homework. They have to read. They have to prepare for tests. Same thing when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot stay away from doing our homework, the work that we're supposed to do. So tazkiyah is a process. And it's not one step a process. I cannot wake up in the morning, I said, that's it, I purify myself. You have to show action for that. You have to clean yourself. And the scholars, they say that tazkiyah requires something called mujahada, a struggle. You're almost doing jihad against yourself. You're fighting against your desires. You're fighting against distractions that you have around you. So you can reach to the level of purification, that cleansing yourself and cleaning yourself. And imagine, brothers and sisters, if you have somebody who's so successful, but limited to this life, so wealthy, but so disconnected and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that a success that we really seek? Is that a success, the ultimate success that we really look for? Be successful as much as you can in this life. But if you are not successful in the definition of the Quran, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not successful. You're actually a loser. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, he also mentioned in the Quran a terminology, khasar, losing, or khasirun, losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the khasirun, they'll come in the hereafter and they think they have done so many, a lot of things, but they see nothing. How is that? Khasir is somebody who traded, who was in business, but lost. But I bought and I sold and I did this and that. It's nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people consider to be khasirun. Those people consider to be what? Losers. And we have to know that ourselves who require mujahada, that we have to struggle with ourselves, that most of the people, we are most of this, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, an-nafsul lawwama, that we are souls who we do good, but we also do bad. But we need to fight the bad. We need to blame ourselves for the bad that we do. And we need to reach to the level of an-nafs al-mutma'inna, the content nafs.
that's trying their best, striving for the sake of Allah, doing everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reaching that level. And we don't want to be among those, an-nafs al-ammara to bisu, the nafs that always call upon doing bad things. Because when you let yourself for two things, when you don't control yourself when it comes to your own desires and a distraction that happened outside of you, you're going to be a loser 100%. And this is even your daily life. If somebody eats and cannot control themselves, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be unhealthy. If people are always distracted, if kids and youth always distracted by video games, do you think they're going to do well in school? They're not going to do well in school. So don't leave yourself without a control. Don't leave yourself for your own desire. Leave it for the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ وَالْغَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, we have a great example of our Islamic history of somebody who struggled with himself, did a lot of mujahada, but was raised very well by his own parents, that he reached the level of tazkiya. And he taught his children the level of tazkiya. And I'll try to leave you with two stories of this person. Hopefully one day we can have khutbah specifically about this person. This person is the great Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. The Umayyad Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. This Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was from Bani Umayyah, who ruled the Muslims after the Khulafa al-Rashidin. And he was born in a very, very wealthy family. And he was born in Medina. But his dad later on became the governor of Egypt. So he had to live with his dad in Egypt. And when he grew up to be 7 or 8 years old, his dad decided to send him to Medina again to study with the scholars of Medina. And his dad chose a famous scholar of Medina, Salih ibn Kaysan. His name is Salih ibn Kaysan, to be his teacher and to be his mentor and to be his murabbi. Salih ibn Kaysan, he insisted that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the first thing that he needs to do in his life is to pray in the masjid. The first thing you have to do, you pray in the masjid. Every single prayer. You cannot miss any prayer in the masjid. This is the first mujahada we have to do ourselves and we have to teach our kids. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he kept praying in the masjid until one day he came to the masjid after the salah is done. He walked in late. So Salih ibn Kaysan, he looked at him and he said, "What brought you too late to the masjid? We finished the salah. The salah is done. What are you doing here?" He said, "You know what? I was home and I was brushing my hair. It took me a while until my hair is ready. So I came to the masjid." So Salih ibn Kaysan, he said something so profound to him. He said, "Which one is more important? Brushing your hair or praying in the masjid on time? Which one is more valuable to you?" And many times, this is an important lesson for us in our lives. What you do in your life, what you act upon, is going to be a value that your kids will see upon you. Your kids will see, this is the most valuable to my parents. And I gave this example before. When football season is coming up, and if you fan of football, and you turn the TV on Sunday for 12 hours, watching every single game, without telling your kids that football is valuable to you, your kids will understand that. Definitely your kids, my dad loves football and he likes it. Why? Did he tell you that? No, he didn't tell me any of that. But he watches every Sunday. He makes sure he doesn't miss a game. This is what present to our kids. And this is what the kids will think of us and what they would think as a valuable in their lives. So Salih ibn Kaysan, he told Umar, "So you think your hair is more valuable than the salah?" He said, "No, of course salah is more valuable." So he said, if the salah is more valuable than your hair, then go ahead and shave your hair. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he went and shaved his hair. This is the mujahada. This is how we struggle to purify ourselves. That we're willing to give up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show, when, ya Allah, I can do that. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he grew up to be even a scholar. And he became a khalifa. And when he became a khalifa, he took it upon themselves to teach his children. That, you know what, you cannot just live the way you want. Thinking, I'm the khalifa and the ruler of the Muslims. And you can do whatever you want. So one day, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he entered his house and he craving for grapes, to eat some grapes. So he looked at his wife and he said, "Do we have some grapes in the house?" And he said, "We don't have none. We have nothing." He said, "Okay, do you have a dirham?" A dirham basically is less than a dollar. So I can buy some. She said, I don't have. He's like, but she sold him. But you're the Khalifa. You can do whatever you want. You can, you know, you have all basically all the wealth of the Muslims. He said, I wouldn't do that upon myself. And his kids saw that of him. Another story about him, that one of his kids grabbed an apple from that belongs to the Muslims. Something that Muslim harvest. And she's about to eat it. And he asked her, where do you get this from? He said, I get it like everyone else. He said, you didn't get it like everyone else. Maybe they gave it to you because you're the daughter of the Khalifa. And I'll end with a story. It's going to take a few minutes, inshallah. After the Umayyad, they ruled the Muslims. A new state and new rulers ruled the Muslim called the Abbasid. And the second Abbasi or Abbasid Khalifa was Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. When he became a Khalifa, people came to him to give bay'ah, to congratulate him, to, you know, show him that they obey him. And one of the scholars by the name of Muqatil ibn Sulayman, he showed up. And Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, he said, this man, he's known to be a preacher. Now he's going to preach, you know, to us, and he's going to tell us, do things, do that. Man, he's ruining our night. So as soon as Muqatil enter before Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur told him, how about you preach us? How about you tell us something? How about you advise us? Tell us something. Tell us something. So Muqatil, he said, do I tell you something of what I saw, of something I heard? Because we could hear a lot of stories, you know, but we could see a limited amount of stories of things that happen around us. He said, no, I want you to tell me something that you have seen, not something that you what? Not something that you heard. So Muqatil, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I saw something that I don't think anybody can understand. He said, when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died as a Khalifa and I saw that, he only had 18 dinar and he had 11 children. And they used 4 to buy his grave, 4 dinars to buy the grave for him, and 4 dinars to wash him and to cover him. We're talking about dinar almost equivalent to dollar. And they used half of his money just to bury him. And the rest was distributed to his what? To his children and wife. He said also, when Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik, he's also Umayyad Khalifa, when he passed away, I saw with my own eyes that only his wife took 80,000 dinar, only his wife. And he has so many children. Can you imagine? The wife take 1/8. So time, you know, 12.5, you find, you know, how much wealth he had. He said, and I saw later on the same day, a children of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 horse. And I saw on that day, a children of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik begging people in the street. It's not how much we leave to our kids. It's how much we equip them to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How mindful we make them to close to Allah, how mindful we make them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we teach them taqwa. Whatever you think you equipped your kids with to survive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wahhab. How much are you going to give them? How much are you going to leave with them? Can you imagine that? Can you think of that? So I'm not saying don't be prepared. Don't give for your kids. Don't let your kids be prepared. What I'm saying is sometimes we have certain things that we have to teach our kids first before giving them. Just make them depend on wealth. Let them depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make them mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach them taqwa. Teach them tazkiya. That's what they need to be successful in their school year. Books, studying, all good, but that's not enough. What you need more is them to be equipped when they're ready to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأزواجنا وذرياتنا ولأهلنا ولأصحابنا ولطلبتنا ولمعلمينا ولمن أوصانا واستوصانا بدعاء الخير ولمن له حق علينا. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم وفقنا لهداك واجعل اعمالنا الصالحه في رضاك يا رب العالمين ويا ارحم الراحمين. Dear brothers and sisters, you've seen to your right, to my left, some, you know, machine and equipments. Inshallah, the house that's next, the old MYG house, will be demolished inshallah next a few days inshallah.
and the masjid and the school are going to Allah to, you know, make your campus that you attend every week and you attend more, some of you every day, better inshallah to serve our community inshallah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Inna Allah yamuru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha al fahshai wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Fadhkuru Allah al-azim yadhkurukum washkuruhu ala alaihi wa ni'amihi yazidkum wa la dhikru Allah akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Wa aqimis salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
حق لا إله إلا الله سوى تدلو رحم الله امرئ ساوى نفسه الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى فبرأه الله مما قالوا وكان عند الله وجيها. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We thank Brother Ahmad Al-Mutawwa for his reminders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and bless our school. Inshallah, will be starting soon. Should the children get good information, good education, and success in this life and in the life to come. Please remember in your dua several people who are not well. There is a request from their families to make dua for them. Brother Shrafi, Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Haisam Bundukchi, Brother Bilal Dalati, Sister Rima Dalati, Sister Zara Hassan, Sister Najat Al Asri, Sister Seema Abdul Majid, Brother Muhammad Rafiq, Sister Suraya Akhtar and Brother Sharzad, Sheikh Shahid's uncle, who is going to have a major surgery. Please make dua for all of them and other people who are not well. May Allah give them shifa. Allahumma shif mardana wa mardha al-muslimin, ya Allah. Allahumma shif anta shifaan ajilan wa kamilan, ya Allah. Also dua maghfirah for Brother Ahsan Minhaj Sayyid, Sister Sara Azizadeh, Brother Haqnawaz Malik, Brother Asim Al-Kuzai, Sister Mahrun Nisa Al-Khani, Brother Jamil Ahmed. Allahumma aghfir lahum, ya Allah. Allahumma aghfir lahum wa rahamhum wa aafihim wa afu anhum. Allahumma akrim nuzulahum wa assi' mudkhalahum. Allahumma aghsil khatayahum bil ma'i wa thalj al barad. Allahumma naqqihim min adh-dhunubi wal khataya kama yanqqa thawb al abyad min ad-danas. Allahumma arhamna idha sinna ila ma saru ilayh. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.